Monday night in Chicago. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And joining us in studio is Scott Smith, our Man in Chicago writer. And also, we talked last time about, you know, your title, the kind of work that you do, community organizer, is something that you, I mean, and it's so funny. Like, do you find people stopping and going, well, wasn't that what they made fun of President Obama for being a community organizer?
You know, I do a storytelling series called The Front Room, which is all about Southside storytelling series. So occasionally I'll just get people in the neighborhood like pointing at me and be like, hey, front room guy, which is kind of
the same thing. Feels like the same thing.
Yeah.
Community organizer guy.
Yeah. So I don't know. I wear it lightly.
And that's the thing too, is that I feel like it was so hammered away in the media that that's what makes people sort of trip over it a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think, like, you know, getting folks together in common cause, when they're not getting paid, when they, are not necessarily sharing the same workplace, same anything, and finding people of disparate backgrounds and bring them together, like, that's a skill. Like,
right.
That's really impressive, whoever does it.
You're trying to bring awareness and educate and inform, and people who want to do something about it, that's what it means
to be
a community organizer. Gen Z is the host of Getting Zen with Jennifer Zanotti, with Gen Z, sorry. Yeah, I ruined the title. I'm like, it's a great title.
That sounded great, though.
Getting Zen
name. There you go.
With Gen Z. And you can go to WGNRadioPlus.com. And I asked Jen to stay because I'm going to flip this around a little bit. My intent was to talk about a piece that Scott wrote, and as well as a link he sent me to something else. But it does actually work here, because did everybody watch Saturday Night Live, the cold open with Matt Damon playing Judge Kavanaugh?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about it because they did highlight that weird moment between Judge Kavanaugh and Senator Klobuchar, when he was just so rude. And it was startling. And part of what you wrote was about how we interrupt women and turn it on them. And it was very aggressive when Brett Kavanaugh did that.
Right. And look, it feels a little weird to be explaining how sexism works to three women. So I just want to acknowledge that that's a weird thing right now. Just
he's like, okay.
Listen, actually, ladies.
No, but I mean, that's the thing, is that women can't just be the ones saying it. That's why I wanted to bring you in
this was like everything about the way that men in certain rooms treat women, you know. And it's, you know, the exchange between the two of them on this one particular question about whether or not he's blacked out when he's drinking, you know, from the beginning, the first thing he does is try to turn it back on her, like, oh, well, have you? And like, and he does it three times within the course of that exchange. And it's that particular exchange is so very brief. But it came after, you know, Dr. Blasey Ford had already talked about her experiences, and she had to essentially not only explain what had happened to her, she had to kind of call on her expertise as a scientist to be like, well, in the hippocampus, these, you know, traumatic things happen. And she's literally like out there as a scientist in order to be taken seriously, because it's not enough for her to just say, look, this is what happened to me and this was my experience, and there's absolutely no reason why I wouldn't be telling the truth, because telling the truth about this is actually terrible for me, because all of these things, you know, I'm going to get abuse, I'm going to get threats. She said she's had to leave her house like three times. So all of this has happened, and then to see this moment between a woman who is a senator, who has the standing literally to be in the room, and for him to begin to turn it around on her was just kind of startling.
Right. I didn't see him turn it around on any, well, they all stuck with him, but I didn't see him turn anything else around. And I found that very insulting. I thought, if anybody, he's a judge, he's been a lawyer, he's been in a courtroom, he's been in situations like this. Answer the questions.
Yeah, in that position, you should not be
doing
that.
I appreciated her, you know, she didn't bite. You know, which I thought was very strong of her. You know, she didn't bite when he said, I think you've probably had beer, Senator. So she took it right back to the question. So you're saying there's never been a case where you drank so much that it didn't happen the night before, or part of what happened? And he says, you're asking about blacking out. Again, I don't know, have you? So you're right. Several times
she was measured.
Turned it around on her, which was just insulting.
And you have to imagine, like, she's been there before, right? I think most women have. Like, you're literally like, I'm just going to wait this dude out, and I'm going to continue to be professional. I'm not going to continue to get, you know, caught up in, as he was, and the emotion of the thing. And because, you know, when women are expressing emotions, they're out of control. But when men are expressing emotions, they're very passionate and they feel deeply about this. And this, you know, that's exactly how it was talked about, that he was sort of giving this passionate defense and, you know, had Dr. Blasey Ford or had Senator Klobuchar kind of given into that. You know, she's got to just kind of almost accept the terms of the way that he's arguing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, no, I don't have, finally, she says, no, I don't have a drinking problem. And then he finally says, well, nor do I. He almost like has to indict her in the whole conversation about it. That's his attempt to kind of put it back on her and make her defensive rather than just flat out answering the question.
Well, and you mentioned that she has the standing to be in the room because she's a senator. She also is on the committee to decide whether or not he gets to have that job. And as a judge, would he ever have an attorney talk to him like that?
Have
right,
you?
Exactly.
Do you? You know, it would be, that's so,
oh, no, absolutely not.
Surreal.
He'd throw him out of the courtroom.
And again, though, everyone's talking about how he's, you know, he's angry that his reputation has been maligned, that his family has been, you know, under the spotlight. But as you mentioned, so has Dr. Blasey Ford. Okay, and I also want to address something else that's come up on our website page on WGNradio.com and Facebook. There are listeners who are annoyed that we call her doctor. Now, she has a PhD in educational psychology from Southern California. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, what is the etiquette on this? So from Emily Post, the Institute, Emily Post has an institute and a website.
Right.
We're on it right now. And and if you don't know whether or not because it's their choice to be called professor or doctor.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't know, then doctor is used. Now, there are other radio stations and broadcasting outlets that are choosing to say professor and not doctor because, and here's why. It's an important reason because most people don't understand the distinction. They just think that if you say doctor, then they're a medical professional like dentist.
Right.
We assume here at WGN that all y'all know what we're talking about.
Right.
Just saying that maybe you can make that step.
I have a friend who has a PhD. He's a school principal. And he goes, think of all of our school principals and superintendents. They were all doctor. So,
and it's not unusual in
title.
Politics, even. You know, there was Dr. Condoleezza Rice. Like, when you get to a certain level of government, you're operating at that high level, having or in science or in what have you, like, you're a professional. Like, it's not unusual to be referred to in that way.
And, you know,
again, it's the standing that she doesn't get to have. She's just, quote unquote, just a witness. She's just a person. No, she brought her education. She brought her expertise into her testimony as well. And yet somehow she still doesn't get to be doctor.
And I believe he testified as to, you know, how he got into Yale on his own. It's the best school in the country.
Worked his tail off.
Best school in the country. So she should also be proud of her credentials.
Right.
As should the other woman testifying against him or being questioned about him as well, who also went to Yale.
There's also from the 815, like a little boy that gets in trouble. He said how he always does wonderful things, then starts pointing at others and listing the bad things he says they have done. I know Anthony wants to join the conversation. I think Anthony wants to have a different conversation than we're actually having because we were talking about the gender issues and the way men talk to women. And we're using this because it's at such a huge, grand level, really. It's on the stage of the world that we all have been able to sort of dissect this. But Anthony, you hang in there and we'll take your call in just a moment on 720 WGN. I'm sure it'll be fun. Our man in Chicago, Scott Smith, wrote a piece. In a single moment between Klobuchar and Kavanaugh, we are all the things we do to women, is the headline. And Anthony wanted to join the conversation and offer his thoughts. What do you want to say, Anthony?
Well, I just wanted to say I don't think it's really fair to judge Kavanaugh in that situation. I mean, assuming that he's telling the truth, let's give him the same benefit we give Ms. Ford.
What else do we have to go by? What else do we have to go by? Besides, I mean, I can't. I mean, I'm judging. Yes, I place judgment on his performance and yelling and crying about his calendar. You mean in that sense? You mean I shouldn't judge him that way?
Well,
and snapping at Senator Klobuchar and basically turning it on her when she just asked him a question in a really reasonable way and he was a jerk to her?
Asked him. You mean when she asked him about drinking 3 years after the event that they're there to question him about actually happened? But I think it's irrelevant. She was trying to egg him on.
So he should just snap at her the same way he would, I guess, expect an attorney to snap at him?
Well, she should just be above that and just stick to the topic at hand, which
she
was
did.
The assault. His drinking, he wasn't at Yale yet.
Right, but
so
he
was drinking at Yale.
But he was saying he didn't drink enough to black out, because the question is whether or not he was drinking perhaps in high school to the point where he might not remember whether or not he had sexually assaulted this girl. That was the line of questioning, Anthony.
Well, none of the witnesses there seem to remember it either. I suppose that doesn't matter.
Anthony,
either.
The line of questioning was whether or not he had drank enough to. So she was trying to figure out if maybe he forgot whether or not he sexually assaulted her. Is that reasonable to ask somebody? that it was clearly at a party with brewskis on a day, you know, he had it on his calendar that the same people that she listed were at a party he was going to have beer.
Well, why does her best friend not ever remember meeting
Kavanaugh? No. Anthony, you haven't answered my question yet. Anthony, you didn't answer my question yet. Yeah, is it reasonable?
Well, you're defending her.
No, I'm not defending anything. You called up and said that we shouldn't judge him. But what other choice do we have except to watch his behavior and see how he responded in a very unprofessional and rude way? What other choice do I have?
His family has been getting death threats over a false allegation.
So her family has been getting death threats.
Well, she's brought this on. He didn't do anything.
But, Anthony, by the way, everyone has said, including Lindsey Graham and Judge Kavanaugh, they haven't called these false accusations at all. Not one of them have said that nothing happened to her. Not one of them have said
you
that. So why are you... Anthony, why are you saying they're false accusations if even the senators aren't saying that? No, why are you saying You said they were false.
No, they're false regarding Kavanaugh. She told her therapist in 2012 she didn't know who did it. She just remembered...
She testified that she testified that it was Brett Kavanaugh, that she had told her husband it was Brett Kavanaugh. She never said she didn't remember who it was.
Is that what she told her therapist?
That is not what... You don't have the records. She did tell her therapist. Anthony, what you're referring to is that it's not in the notes. I assure you that my therapist also doesn't have the name of my rapist in the notes. All right? Does that help you? Does that help you out at all, Anthony?
Let's not call it a rapist when somebody gropes somebody.
No. Anthony, stop. Did you hear what I just said?
What?
That I assure you that my therapist does not have my rapist's names in his notes.
Well, since Kavanaugh wasn't a rapist, I don't see how that's pertinent.
Anthony, I'm telling you that my therapist, so my assailant, my attacker, his names would not be in the notes either. So
let me ask you this, Patty. Do you remember when this happened?
Okay. Let's just stay on the one thing with the whether or not the therapist would have the notes of the rapist or the attacker.
Well, this was the false accusation topic was what we were trying to address.
Yes,
and I'm
because
saying,
no, but you're saying no, Anthony. You said he didn't name Brett Kavanaugh to the therapist. That's what you said.
I'm trying to show you that her lack of recollection of any of the specifics regarding the event.
She's very specific.
Telling.
Her specific. Allegation is that Brett Kavanaugh attempted to rape her. Your defense of that, or your counter to that, is that it's not in the therapist's notes. My response to you was...
Do you remember where you were when your attack happened? Do you remember what time of day it was?
No.
You don't?
No. Okay. Next question.
I think I would remember something that traumatic.
My dude, if I can jump in for a second, I'm going to beg you here, actually. I'm going to beg you... to listen to the woman who has the experience that you don't, and let her tell you what that, which, by the way, she has no reason to do. She's trying to give you a little bit of an insight into what Dr. Ford has gone through based on her experience, which you have said you do not have. So what I would say is maybe just accept the fact that she knows a little bit more about this topic than you.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
That's not the topic.
No, it is, though.
The topic is...
It's about whether or not we believe women, Anthony.
It's unsubstantiated.
But you... Okay, I'm going to go back to this again, Anthony. What you brought up were the therapist notes and whether or not she had said Brett Kavanaugh's names with a therapist. She said she has. She said her husband was there. But you said that she couldn't remember in the therapy. She has said, and she has testified under oath, that she did name Brett Kavanaugh in therapy.
And he has testified under oath that he didn't do it. Why in 2012 didn't she come out with his name then?
Who would she come out to? You know what? If I knew that my rapist was going to be...
He was a federal judge.
Oh, my God, Anthony.
He could have came out to somebody.
Anthony, if I knew that my rapist was going to be in the Supreme Court, I probably would. I'm not going to tell you now. I'm not going to come out with it. But, you know, you bring up an interesting point, Anthony. I have a question for you guys. So I talked to my mom about this because I was sexually assaulted when I was 4 years old. And then I was sexually assaulted when I was 15. And my mom, we pressed charges in 4 and they couldn't do anything. So when I was 15, I asked my mom, like, why didn't we go to the police department? And my mom said because they wouldn't have done anything. There was nothing they could do. They couldn't help when you were 4. So should I go I'm thinking about actually going to file a police report now. Just so that, I mean, because Anthony's saying that I should have come forward. So Anthony, you're right. You know, you have inspired me to go to the police department and file a report from when I was 15 years old. So thank you for that, Anthony. I really do appreciate that. So there you go. That's what it's like, Scott.
Do you?
That's
you
know, what's like, Jen.
You know, and again, but if I could just say that the timeline really, you know, look at the Hastert investigation. That took 50 years. Look at the Bill Cosby investigation. That took 40 years. The Catholic Church scandal took, what, minimum 50 years. Look at all of this. All of this stuff has come up 50 years later. Not one person has said, you know, well, some people have, but not anyone has been chastised for coming forward all these years later.
There's no time limit on when you come forward, not able to come forward and talk about this.
There's not a time limit as to when you want to come forward or need to come forward as to your experience. It doesn't mean that you're not telling the truth just because whether it happened a week ago, a month ago, or 20 years ago.
And to have to justify it is not
My mom's going to be so mad at me. Why are you talking about these things on the air?
deep breath.
What?
And back to the
And these are
place.
The only kind of stories where we won't believe it if it's been a while. You know, when somebody was like, hey, you know what? It's a funny story. 10 years ago, like, nobody was ever like, I don't think it's true. It's more like, go on. So there isn't, this is, there is these kinds of stories what have happened to women. These are the only stories where you have, there has to be a time limit. There has to be a certain level of detail. There has to be corroborating witnesses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's never, there's always a goalpost that gets moved.
You know, and I want to just tell a real quick story. A friend of mine told me a story over the weekend, and she said they were at a family party many, 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 many years ago. They were teenagers. There's nothing sexual about this, but a male relative kind of wrestled her to the ground and pinned her.
Oh.
And she was terrified at that time. And he got, again, nothing sexual, just, you know, I hate to even use this expression, being a rough boy, they were roughhousing, pinned her down. And she said at that moment she was terrified. She said, I couldn't tell you when it was. I don't know if I was 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you if it, why he was at her house. Was it a graduation? Was it a birthday? Whatever it was.
Yep.
But she said, I absolutely know what happened. I was terrified.
Yeah.
And so, for many, many years, I didn't speak to him at family events and whatnot. That's case in point. I mean, just because you don't remember the day and the month and the year doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Well, and that's what that was. I let Anthony go. People might be wondering why I continue with that, because that's what it's like all the time in these situations. Anthony just blew right past it.
I'm so sorry for you. Like, that you have to go through that
all the time, and people are like, and I probably sound angry, and people will probably want to know why I'm not crying, because I cried all night Thursday, and I cried when I saw those women in the elevator.
With Jeff Flake.
Yeah,
yeah.
And by the way, that interview with Jeff Flake and Lindsey Graham and I can't remember.
Senator Coons.
And talking about, they asked Senator Flake if he was running again, would he hit the pause button?
Yeah,
and he said absolutely not. He would not have taken those steps to take a break, take a week, whatever that ends up meaning. And people who support Judge Kavanaugh should want that week to clear his name. And the people who support Dr. Ford should want that week to give them the opportunity to corroborate her testimony. Mm-hmm. Wow, I got worked up, everybody. The reason I let that go on was that's what it's like.
But it's not just about sexual assault, and it's not just about rape either. It's about even the tiniest little things. It's a thing like in a professional environment. Yeah. It's the thing that's like, well, I've looked at the data and this is the analysis. Like, did you look at all the data?
Right.
Like, it's just little things like that that kind of get put in the way of our conversations with, and I'm saying our, usually men, that are kind of putting these obstacles in front of women. It's part of the reason why I wanted to write this thing, which was just like, this is like a little microcosm of all of the different things. And it's not just, you know, Anthony really wanted to make it about the assault, you know, charges, the accusations, but it's really about how we treat women's level of expertise, whether or not they're to be believed, and how we just have a general interaction with, you know, challenging, putting it back on, you know, her and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Article.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Let's talk. We're going to hang out with Scott some more. And I want to talk about something that happened on Saturday, and one of the reasons why I wanted to keep Jen is being in public spaces now, and are people changing? Are women changing at all? Are men? Because I was really surprised. I mean, like, I'm almost like, really? We're doing this now? Right. So I had a situation at one of my favorite bars that I probably can't go back to now. Although I want to say that the people who were on the bar there were very nice. But I don't know if I can go back. Let's take a quick break. Let's go to the news, actually. It's sponsored by victoryautowreckers.com. Our phone lines are lighting up, and we appreciate anyone who wants to join the conversation. 312-981-7200. Andrea, some folks want to know why I let Anthony go on so long, but it was kind of, I thought it was, it sort of reflected the conversation that we're having. I'm telling you that I have a perspective on this, and Anthony was not hearing it. Listeners who are asking for his phone number, I'm not going to do that. I mean, Anthony, just so you know, I do have it, but...
You know what, though? I think you put it best, Scott, is that, you know, we're trying, Patty and everyone who's in this situation is trying to give a perspective from a similar experience that they had, right. An experience that rocked your life and rocked your world. And he wasn't listening.
Right.
No, he didn't want to hear it.
So there's so many different answers for why didn't they come forward sooner? Why wasn't there any record? I assure you, as I was trying to say, that my therapist does not have my therapist has a record of the attack of my talking about it and how I've dealt with it and how I've learned from it. And because I have learned from it in the sense that I understand so much more. I couldn't be touched. Like when I was between the ages of 4 and then for almost, you know who the first person was that noticed I didn't like being hugged was Steve Cochran. By the way, I'm okay now. I know you guys are both like, I think we hugged. Yeah. So Steve was doing a show with me out in Vernon Hills and audience members would come up and hug me. And he said, you know what you do every time someone hugs you? You go, oh, we're hugging. And because I wouldn't push them away, I would just like, I had made myself be okay with it. And like, I couldn't be touched. My mom would tell stories about when I was little, like she wasn't allowed to come in the bath with me to take a, she wouldn't help me take a shower. I wouldn't let anyone touch me in the bathroom. Going to the doctor was bad. Anyway, Rod, you wanted to share some thoughts. How you doing, Rod?
There's room for improvement.
Me too. Yeah. I'm the same way.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, you know, I could be on here for an hour, but you know, with Amy Klobuchar, is this thing political? Absolutely it is. There is no question it's political. Now, if the Republicans were in the minority, would the Democrats do the same thing the Republicans are doing? I don't know. Well, only God knows
that. I think Al Franken's a good example of the line that they're willing to hold and to demonstrate that they're trying to hold themselves to a different standard, or at least in the shifting winds of the Me Too movement. But I am like you, cannot answer that question because we're not at that moment.
Well, am I still on?
Yes.
When Amy Klobuchar asked him if he thought he had a drinking problem, absolutely, he should have honorably answered that question because, again, if he's not being fit for a job to, you know, to cut grass. I'm not saying that you cut grass, you're a lowlife. That ain't what I'm implying. I'm sure you know what I'm getting at. The Supreme Court, you are going to make decisions that could horrifically, terminally, hellishly affect lives for the rest of their life. And I got a CDL when I drove semi. You know what? They changed that on that. Now, if you got like 0.02 blood alcohol content, you're screwed. Right. You're gonna get arrested. You'll never get a CDL again. And I'm death driving a big rig. Now, he's not driving a big rig, but you got to make these decisions. You know, I don't know how much beer he drinks. I mean, a beer now and then at home, you know, sure as hell ain't going to do much, but I don't know. That was an important question. That's my point.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Rod. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. It was all part of the process and asking questions. Listen to this from the 312. This is for you, Anthony. This is not for you. It's for our listener. Well, there's a lot of listeners. who want to join the conversation. But, you know, middle-aged men are coming out of the woodwork for priest abuse. They suffered as boys. Why do people like Anthony, the caller, accept that, but not a woman who comes forward with her story? Is something that I think Andrea's also. And
yeah, absolutely.
And I know survivors, you know, here's the thing. We kind of bristle when it comes to, like, what about them? And it's okay with them. It's, you know what? I want to make sure everyone understands that your story is important and doesn't have to be diminished by, you know, being used as an example. I think we're all trying to find the language here. So I hope that we can all listen with kindness. I'm 74 from the 312, and this happened to me when I was 6. I remember the adult and where it happened like it was yesterday. He's long gone, thank goodness. Thank you to 301 for your kind words. I know that Jean also wanted to share a story. Hi, Jean. How are you doing?
Hi. I too, was very, very irritated and upset by Anthony's refusal to listen and to comprehend the real issues. And I think, you know, since the beginning of cavemen, they must have looked at the woman in the cave and realized how much stronger he was. And we are by nature tend to be the more quiet, the more acquiescent, and so forth. And I have many siblings and lives two states away when my other siblings began to complain that my middle sister was acting very erratically, drinking too much and so forth, and I had no idea what was going on. And it turns out that she was molested by a family member. I'm not really sure about the age. It could have been anywhere from 6 to 10. Mm. And it absolutely has ruined her life. She was one of those that repressed the memory.
Right. Yes.
And she has never married. She's never had children.
Aww.
She's never had relationships. She's emotionally scarred. She's been in all kinds of therapy. Nothing works. And she has a permanent personality disorder. And I still remember the day, it was a Sunday evening, she called me crying, and she had walked into her own living room where she had the TV running, and the movie, the broadcast had changed to a movie about child molestation. Mm-hmm. And it came back to her in a flash.
Oh my gosh.
Of what had been done.
Yeah.
And it is the most tragic thing. It's made our family lives miserable because for some reason it's like baggage she carries that she holds against everybody. Not that any of us had anything to do with it. It's just miserable. And, you know, there are some things that happen to you at a certain time in your life when you can handle things. I was attacked because someone neglected to lock a door when I was in summer school at the UW, and I was engaged, but I had never had sex. I was terrified of this. I woke up and found this person standing over me, and thank God I sensed he had been drinking. My parents owned a supper club. I knew how that could affect, you know, someone's ability to carry out the intended offense. And I was able to wrestle him off the twin bed. He was already half, you know, he had one leg on, and he was in the process of undressing. And I only managed to get rid of him and get free because the roommate I had, and it turned out to be her fault, she was flirting with someone. She was working in a bar on weekends when I wasn't there. I had no idea she was doing this. And I managed, she was taking drama. And it seemed totally superficial and stupid to me because I was a journalist and I thought that was far more important. But she showed me, she would do little exercises like open the door and go through it. And how I saved myself was after he had his clutches around my shoulders, because he convinced me it would be better if I would sit on the bed. Of course, the bed was the last thing. We both crashed to the floor. And I turned my head in just the tiniest increments to see if he had left that door open. And I could see sunlight coming down through the shaft of the hallway. It was 4 a.m. And I thought, I can do this. And I made sure that my head was right in front of his nose because he was hanging on to me. He didn't want me to get away. And I smashed my head into the front of his face, especially his nose. He screamed, let go. I raced through that hallway, and woke up half a dozen neighbors who all called the police at the same time.
Did they catch him?
And they caught him.
Oh,
and I got over it, but it took a long time.
Oh, to feel safe,
you know,
again.
It's just one of those things. When you're a woman, you're just so vulnerable to someone stronger than you.
Right.
Or, you know, being caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. And they didn't catch him right away. So, and I didn't drive. I took a bus to the UW. And every time I got on that bus, I looked over the side of every man's neck. Because when I landed with the V of my thumb and index finger on his neck. And I was really in a threatening position because I was about 100 pounds. And he could not breathe. You know, plus the fact that he was somewhat inebriated. And I can tell you, it still affects me. Odd sounds, you know, things like that. And I finally went into transactional analysis and got a lot of it all figured out. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine, and I lived a normal life and have wonderful family and sons and, you know, so on and so forth. But really, if others only knew, especially men understood the damage, that it can be lifelong, like my sister's, they would be so much more careful about the kinds of things they contemplate doing.
Yeah. Oh, Jean, incredible
story.
I feel
sorry for you at four. I just can't even imagine.
Well, what was always hard was that my parents, especially my dad, always felt as though he had let me down. So that, I mean, it was hard too. Someone just texted, Patty, God forbid your son Griffin is accused of sexual assault in a few years and you automatically defend the accuser because of your past experience. I'm not sure which way they want to go with that, but I actually, because I've been talking about it, I told Griffin what it, and to see the pain and like for him to like realize what that meant and like for him to feel bad for me was so painful, and yet I want him to understand what it means to so many of these survivors and why people are having these conversations, and he knows that I've been a good mom. And by the way, for anyone who's like, you know, saying that Judge Kavanaugh is being wrongfully accused and everything, man, they really did a number on Judge Gorsuch, didn't they? Justice Gorsuch, really, all that butt-chugging story they talked about. No, what I'm saying is it didn't happen. So this is not conjured out of thin air. And people like Jean and a lot of our texters who are now sharing stories, I think that if no matter what happens, whether or not they confirm Justice Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, or they don't, I think that the fact that we're having these conversations is really, really important. And Jean, I'm so honored that you were brave enough to share that story with us.
Well, I'm so impressed by your intelligence and the way you manage to keep a balance in your discussions with some of these people. You really have my admiration through
you,
and
Jean.
Through.
With helps knowing you're there, believe me.
You do very well.
Thank you, Jean. Be well. Thank you.
Good night.
We'll have to talk about other stories some other time because I will have to have you guys both back. Thank you so much, Scott. Where can people find you online?
At ourmaninchicago.net or on Twitter at ourmaninchicago.
Our Man in Chicago. We have to have you back sooner rather than later. You as well, Gen Z. Follow her on Twitter. On
Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast, or go to jenzanotti.com. I have my Twitter. I don't really use it very much.
Oh, that's fine. That's no one's solely. And it's also find her podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z, WGNRadioPlus.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are going to check in with our friend Jim Allen.
The Chicago Board of Election Commissioners, talking a little bit about voting and where you can do it and why you should.
Yes, because people, like, that's one of the reasons they give. I don't know where I'm supposed to vote. Ha ha. No excuses. More after this on 720 WGN.